a controversial program that brings in billions of dollars a year to about 40% of U.S. hospitals had its moment in the sun this summer.
We'll hear an argument next in case 2011-14, American Hospital Association versus Becerra.
I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. The program is called 340B, and the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling on a technical question left untouched the controversy that has dogged the program for years. Who should benefit? That question has pitted hospitals against hospitals, pharmaceutical giants against clinics that serve low-income patients. Stuck in the middle, some of the country's poorest and most vulnerable people. Joining me is University of Minnesota economist and Trade-Offs research editor Sae Nikpay, who has studied 340B for years. Sae, let's start with the basics. How's the program work?
Sure, Dan. Well, since 1992, Congress has required drug makers to give big discounts to hospitals and clinics that serve a lot of poor and uninsured patients. So imagine a drug normally costs $100,000. A 340B hospital or clinic can buy that drug directly from the drug maker for closer to $50,000.
And what does that mean, Sae, for the patient who needs that drug? How much do they pay?
If someone's uninsured, they'll often pay little or nothing. That's part of the idea with 340B. These big discounts trickle down to make prescriptions more affordable for low-income people.
And what if a person has insurance?
Well, if you're insured, you'll probably have a copay, like any other prescription, and your insurance will cover the rest. But this is where it gets interesting, Dan. Even though the hospital or clinic only paid $50,000 for that drug, they can charge your insurer the whole $100,000 and pocket $50,000. They can use that money then to cover the free doses that they're giving to the uninsured, or they can use it to just keep the lights on.
Which is always a struggle for hospitals and clinics that serve lots of low-income people. So, Sae, why is this program so controversial?
Well, back in the 1990s, fewer than 3% of hospitals got these discounts. Today, it's more than 40%, and many of them are not treating huge numbers of low-income and uninsured patients. And this has led drug makers and some policymakers to argue that these hospitals are using 340B to pad their profits instead of helping low-income patients.
That is a big claim. Is there evidence to back it up?
Well, the hospitals say they use the savings to provide cheaper medications and offer more free care. But it's really hard to check those kinds of claims. And technically, the hospitals can use the money however they want. There are no reporting requirements. There is research, however, that shows that hospitals that joined 340B more recently spend less on charity care and are more likely to set up clinics in richer communities, and then they spend more on drugs once they join the program.
So it sounds like these newer hospitals are reaping the benefits of 340B, but it's a bit of a mystery whether they're actually doing more to help low-income patients. I can see why the drug companies would be upset about this, but why should the rest of us care?
Because this program is critical to helping hospitals and clinics that do care for a lot of uninsured folks. And if it keeps being seen as just a way for hospitals to pad profits, it could go away completely. More than a dozen drug makers are already refusing to offer 340B discounts to some pharmacies, which is putting some clinics in a real bind.
Sae Nikpay, thank you so much.
No problem, Dan.
To learn more about the 340B program and what Congress could do to fix it, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.